You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning, church family. Today is an exciting day as we get to dedicate this space, this newly renovated space, once again back to God. I personally am really excited. I've been a part of this project for the last 2 years. I started off as an elder that oversaw it, and then formerly a pastor that oversaw the project. But today is a day we've been waiting for, a day that I'm personally really excited for. Psalm 105, 1 through 5 reads, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and judgments he's uttered." In just a few moments, I get to take some time and do just that. We're going to look back through kind of the history of Grace Bible Church and see what God has done. We get to take a look at how God has been faithful and really see his goodness. But before we do that, let's open our time in prayer. Father, we are thankful to be able to gather in this space, to be able to thank you for what you've done, to remember how faithful you've been through the years that Grace Bible Church has been in existence, and how faithful you've been since eternity beginning. God, we're thankful, and we pray that you would bless this time and that you would just go before us today, and we pray this in your name. Amen. So I am going to share some of the history of Grace Bible Church. So hopefully this isn't boring for you. It was exciting for me. And so I'm just going to dive right in, and we're going to work our way through it. So in the summer of 1949, about 30 people began meeting on Thursday evenings for Bible study and prayer. Convinced that our community needed another gospel-preaching church that stood for the defense of the Christian faith, they prayed that God would open a building to conduct Sunday school and church services. God provided through a local mission here in Dunmore a rented space that could be used for church services. The church members devoted time to restoring and refurbishing that space, so much so that the mission decided to let the church use that space free of charge. Then in January of 1951, the church was officially organized as an independent, non-denominational church to be known as Grace Bible Church. Interest and attendance grew steadily until the mission facilities where they were meeting were outgrown. Before long, two services were needed to accommodate all of the worshipers. And then in 1958, the members met to discuss the possibility of purchasing 4 acres of land near the O'Neill Highway in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. A motion was made and passed to pursue this option, though it was not without some heavy discussion. Some of the discussion that's recorded that happened during that time was, "Why should we go way out in the middle of nowhere? We can't afford that amount. Why buy so much land?" I vaguely remember reading it was about $8,000. "Where is our faith? Let's do it." The congregation indeed was full of faith, and they were optimistic over what God was going to do next. The consensus was that God, as always, would provide. A building fund was started, and all the offerings on the second Sunday of the month would go to a fund for that new church building. Men of the church at that time also built these little wooden churches, which were piggy banks. And thanks to Bill Seeger, who is one of our remaining members of that time, we have one of these still. But each church family had one of these banks that they took home with them to help collect money for the church building. The groundbreaking ceremony actually took place then on March of 1961, and in early of 1962, the first church services were held in the building. May of 1962, a dedication ceremony was held. Joy, excitement, happiness are words that were used to describe the feelings of that day. Above all, the people of Grace Bible Church praised God in unity for his faithfulness. That original sanctuary is actually what our teen room and hub area are today. As the church continued to pray, God once again opened doors, and on June of 1969, the new Sunday school wing was dedicated. This is our current kids' church area. Pastor Young at the time encouraged the church to let their light shine before men like never before. In August of 1984, I was born, But the church also voted once again to add another addition, which is the current offices and kitchen. The church continued to grow, and one Sunday morning, the attendance reached over 500. This became a time of great challenge. There was all of a sudden no room to sit, stand, walk, or park. Sounds a little familiar, right? Everyone knew that something big needed to be done, and the result was a new sanctuary and full renovation of the remainder of the building. In August of 1988, work began, and on Sunday of February 19, 1989, Grace had a communion service held in the old church sanctuary that would mark the last time they would meet there. It was also a time of testimony and remembrance, as many people spoke of the 27 years of memory. It was time to move forward, and on Wednesday of February 22, 1989, the church met for the first time in its new home, our current sanctuary. Now we're standing here 37 years later. We're standing in this space looking back at all that God has done and used it for. Since this space was first used, 1,920 Sundays have passed. God's word has been preached, people have come to know Christ, and others have been discipled by his word. Countless weddings, funerals, baptisms, and other services have been held here. Through the years, other changes have been made throughout the building. People have come and gone, but the heartbeat of helping people find and follow Jesus has remained the same. Many pastors have also come and gone through the years, and God has used them to impact the people of this church and the community. In more recent history, one pastor in particular was used by God to get us to where we are today. This is a man that the four of us pastors that are currently on staff still look to for advice. Each of us can point to the countless ways he's impacted our lives, our families, and our ministries. So while he would have loved to be here today, he can't. But it is my privilege to introduce to you Pastor Terry Ribble.
Well, Pastor Brian has introduced me, and it is exciting to know that the church has grown so much that I need an introduction. But I am really pleased to be able to celebrate the renovation of the sanctuary, of the worship center, something that we wanted to do before, and now it has been completed. But I was asked to share some ministry, key ministry things from 2003 to 2017, and there's a lot of them, so we're going to fly through them. We incorporated a director of women's ministry very first, right just before I came, and that was one of the wisest decisions the church made. It really ministered to our ladies. We transitioned from a deacon-led church to an elder-led church, and that transition wasn't without its problems, but once it was completed, it really gave us a good, solid foundation, and the men that are elders there today are phenomenal men leading the church. We did a 40-day campaign, The Purpose-Driven Life, in 2004, and that campaign required us to have small groups for everybody to participate in, which led to the development of our life groups. And those are still going on today, and they minister to individual people. As the church grows, you need to have a small group connection so that there are people that you know really well. Some of you that are there for a long time may remember in 2009 we had quite a bit of turmoil, but that turmoil led to people leaving, but it also led to a total transformation of the atmosphere in the church. It allowed us to bring Mike Butash on as director of our youth ministries, something that would not have happened prior to that. That summer, we were looking at, well, what can we do to reach the community? And the idea of a living Christmas village was developed, and something that we started back then went on for a year more after I left, and so for 9 years total. And it was one of the greatest outreaches that we had into the community to bring people into the church. Mike transitioned from a director of youth ministries to the pastor of youth. And then we also added a director of children's ministry, and she was there for a year, and then Lisa took over that role. Pastor Dan's family actually started attending church my first year there when his dad began to study at BBC. And when Dan graduated from high school, he went on to Word of Life, then back to BBC. When he graduated, he did 2 years of internship with us before being voted on as one of the associate pastors at the church. With Penn State right across the street, we saw the need of reaching those students that were using our parking lot day after day. And that brought us to develop this idea of a hub coffee house where Penn State students could come in. Katie Pankratz was our first campus worker, and she was followed by Nick Forrester, and that went on until there was a real change of leadership over at Penn State. Dave Lee and his family started attending Grace at that sometime in there when he was doing his studies at the seminary, working on his MDiv. And in 2016, when he was in his final year, he did his internship that was required with us. And so then we had Pastor Mike, Pastor Dan, and Dave Lee working, and it was really obvious that those three just made a wonderful, marvelous team. And with myself getting older, it was time to transition. And so with the elders, we developed a transition plan. And during 2016 through the middle of 2017, we did that transition. Having seen many churches do transitions, the one that the Lord led us through, that Hardy Pankratz helped us, helped coordinate for us, was really worked out better than almost any I have ever seen. So here we are 8 years later. Some of you will remember that sometime around 2010, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, we had voted as a church to remove the pews and put chairs in. But the vote was strong, but really not that strong. And so the elders felt it was not a good time to do that transition, but it was in the minds. And it is so exciting to see the beautiful sanctuary, the worship center that you have at this time. There are many more things I would like to say, but there's not any more time to do that. But I rejoice with you at the completion of the worship center, and I pray that it will be just an instrument in God's hands for you to see the growth for many, many years in the future.
Thank you, Terry. I'm sure you'll be watching at some point. We appreciate you and we miss you. All right, so I've been tasked. Pastor Brian and Pastor Terry talked about kind of the history of our church. I've been tasked with highlighting some of the ways we continue to see God work here at Grace Bible Church today. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus, of Christ Jesus." So this is a promise that God will fulfill his purposes in our lives, and he will do everything that he intends to. It's true about individual lives, and it's also true about ministries as well. And over the past few weeks, we've asked you to share some testimonies of how God has worked in and through our church's ministries. And this morning, I want to share a handful of these testimonies to celebrate all that God is doing in the life of our church family. So I want to just highlight three quick things. First is that God continues to cultivate a spirit of prayer within our church. One of our prayers that as a leadership team is that God would make Grace Bible Church just simply a house of prayer. That we would be people who seek God's face together, making prayer not just something we do as a last resort, but prayer as a first response as we seek the Lord's face together. We believe that when we pray, God will do things that only he can do. So we praise God for continuing to cultivate a spirit of prayer here at our church. Over the past year, we've seen a greater emphasis on prayer across really all of our ministries. We've seen people praying with those in need, both after the service and before the service as well. We've seen prayer in our life groups and Bible studies be emphasized. We've seen growing interest in gathering for special prayer meetings and a willingness to pray with and for others. So here are just a few testimonies about the impact of prayer on our people's lives. Mike B. says, "Being a part of GBC's men's prayer group on Wednesday mornings has been a blessing to me. God is using this faithful group to pray for the church body, for one another, and for the leadership here at Grace. This group has encouraged me to go deeper with my private prayer time." And then Samantha as well mentions, "GBC has really emphasized how strong just praying really is." These are just a few of the testimonies that have come in, really, really putting emphasis on prayer. But I love hearing testimonies like this, and I hope you do as well, because it reminds us that prayer still works. So let me encourage you that God continues to listen to your prayers and our prayers as a church family. And that prayer has the radical power to change our hearts and also the people and the communities that we live in as well. So let's continue to strive to be a place, hey, where prayer is prioritized. But not only have we seen the power of prayer, we've seen God work through, simply just work through his people. One of our core values here at GBC is that we were made for community. This means we were made for community, yes, with God, but then also with other people as well. We have prayed that this would be a place where people feel welcomed, where people feel encouraged, and where people are surrounded by others who help them draw closer to Jesus Christ. And we praise God that we have seen him continue to build a community of believers that are doing just that. And here are just a few testimonies of people who have experienced Christ-centered community over the past few years. Becky Kay says, "I have seen God at work through this church in the encouragement, prayer, and the sense of belonging I have experienced this year, especially during times when I needed guidance and reassurance in my faith. It has deepened my trust in Christ and strengthened my commitment to walk with him daily." Carla says, "For the first time in quite some time, my husband and I desire to be in church and look forward to it. We are part of a small group for the first time in our married life." And Rick says, "The men's ministry has helped me develop new friendships and meet guys who love the Lord and have gone through things in their lives that have helped me out as well." Friends, we were never meant to walk this Christian life alone. So we praise God that this isn't just a place where people gather to worship on Sunday, but a place where people walk alongside one another, carry each other's burdens, and point one another to Christ. And I praise God for what he's doing in the lives of our people. The last thing I want to share is that we've continued to see the gospel change lives, especially over the last few years. So friends, in a world that gets darker by the day, we've seen the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ change people's lives this year. We've seen children, teens, and adults place their faith in Christ and give their lives to him. Last year alone, we've seen 17 people be baptized. And we continue to praise God for what he's doing. Here are just a few of their testimonies. So Alana shares, "My husband and I were both baptized in October as one of my closest friends as well. We dedicated our daughter the following week. We've got to experience so much love and connectedness through being here at Grace Bible. I've seen the Holy Spirit work through me, my husband, and my friends so much this year." And then Kevin as well shares, "God has brought my wife and me into a new community. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. We now have a church family and a home to worship in because of God's faithfulness and love. I love this. I've grown so much closer to Jesus, and I found myself following God's will for my life, and I was just baptized as well." So friends, may we never forget the power of the gospel and what it can do in the hearts of men and women. We wholeheartedly believe that God is still in the business of saving souls and changing lives. And we pray that this continues to be a place where people hear the gospel, where they see its power lived out in our lives, and they meet Jesus for themselves. So I want to close simply with one scripture verse. Psalm 115:1 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." Friends, today isn't about what we've done. It's not about our ministries. It's not about our church family. And while I am thankful for this church, all the praise, honor, and glory belong to Jesus. This isn't about how great we are. It's about how great God is. And over the past few years, as we've seen God work here, a wise friend of mine who's been in ministry for a long time pulled me aside and simply said this, "Give me two words of advice that I give to you guys today. He says, Dave, simply be prayerful, and secondly, be humble. Friends, let us remember that this is God's work, not ours. So let's prayerfully consider, God, what would you have for us next, as Pastor Dan is going to talk about. And let's humbly follow God wherever he leads us. So let me pray, then Pastor Dan will come up. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for what you have done here. God, over the last few years, especially. God, thank you, Lord, for the souls that we've seen saved, the lives, Lord, that we've seen changed by the gospel. God, the community, Lord, that has been built for so many people. Lord, that they now have people and friends to go through life with, people that pray with them and for them, people that speak truth into their hearts when they need it. And so, God, we do. We praise you, Father. We want all the honor and glory to be yours and not on us. And we look forward, God, to what you will continue to do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Dave. As I have been tasked with sharing about the future, and what a daunting task that can be. I don't know. I just was so encouraged. I mean, I'm the youngest guy on this team, and I love history. I love hearing about the church in 1949, you know, and hearing about this vision and desire and wanting to have a gospel solid church in this valley and then see where we're at today. It's just, it's an awesome thing to be a part of, to be here, to be present. And now to look at the future and look ahead, that also can be daunting. Because if we pause for a moment and think, 10 years from now, what stories will they tell of us and of the greatness of God that we live through and what we decide to do with our faith? And, you know, some corporations or companies will come out, you know, with a new device or a new building or something new, and they'll bring it out and they'll have it covered with, like, you know, a cool cloth, right? And they'll do the big reveal and show off what the plan is. And what is that plan for us? What is that big reveal? What is that big curtain-dropping moment? And a lot of it, I think we're going to come to this, is that God has been blessing this ministry here, his work here, his church, because we have been doing something right. And we need to continue to keep doing this thing. And as I was praying about what to share with you, there was a portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 16 we're going to be looking at very just briefly. But today I want to share and give you and unveil these two truths that should always be the foundation of Grace Bible Church. Should we see success in honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And the first is this, is that we believe that Jesus will build his church, right? We believe that Jesus will build his church. It's not about Pastor Mike, Dave, Dan, Brian, any other pastor coming along. It's always going to be Jesus who builds his church. We see Jesus talking with his disciples walking along in Matthew 16, he asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is, talking about himself? And they respond, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or maybe one of the other prophets. And then he flips the question in Matthew 16, verses 15, and I'll read through 15 and 18. It says, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the point that we can take from this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples and with Peter is that Jesus is the builder of his church. We have to remember who Jesus is talking to, right? He's talking to Peter. Peter, who was a former fisherman with not much education, You know, he had athlete's mouth a lot. He's always sticking his foot in his mouth. He always says what he thinks and then has to ask for forgiveness later, right? Like, he's always messing up. And Jesus says, upon you, your faith, your belief that I am the Son of God, I will build my church on that. And so for us, we need to remember who we are. We don't need to be anything special. We just need to believe with our whole heart, like Peter, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And then we will see that God, through Jesus, will build his church. This conversation, though, continues, and if I were to paraphrase a little bit more, Jesus says, good, thank you. Thank you for believing me. Awesome. Now come over here. I'm gonna lift up the curtain a little bit. I'm gonna reveal what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go into Jerusalem, okay? And I am gonna suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders. And if underneath this curtain, I think he's showing them the cross. And he says that I'm gonna die. And in 3 days, though, I'm gonna rise from the dead. But then look what happens next in verse 22. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Wow. Right? I mean, yeah, you just got praised for being like this rock, but you're going to now confront God and say, no, that's not a good plan. That's not a good plan for the future, Jesus. Far be it for you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he, being Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on the things of man. Did Peter still believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He believed in his heart that Jesus was the Christ, but he had set his mind on his own agenda, on his own will, and his own desires for future success of Christ's church. He had set his minds on things of man and not on things of God. So the second thing I want to share with us, if we want to continue to see God's blessing, if we want to continue to be a healthy church that shines a light in a dark valley, then we will set our minds on the things of God. Amen. We can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but we also need to actively set our minds on the things of God. And listen, it's okay to not understand. Peter didn't understand. He didn't understand why Jesus had to go and die on a cross. He didn't understand why he even had to be resurrected. That's because he had the mind of man. But we understand now, having lived where we live now and having seen and shown to us why. Without Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, we don't have a relationship with God. We don't have the church. We don't have heaven. And so we need to have of the mind of God. We need to be constantly encouraging one another, challenging one another to think about the mind of God, the will of God, the desire of God, and what he's doing. So as we look, we believe that Jesus will build his church, and we will set our minds on the things of God because we believe that Jesus is still building his church. He is still adding people, not only to our number, but also to the body of Christ, those who are being saved from the gates of hell. And we will set our minds to do the will of God no matter what happens, even if we don't understand. I am not promising that things in the future will be all hunky-dory and everything will be fine and there won't be any problems. No, we will have tribulation and trials, but we are going to take heart because Jesus has overcome them. And so as we go forward, we will set our minds to the things of God and trust that he will build his church through them. So what does this look like for us moving forward? What if, I like asking what if questions, but what if our kid ministry and our kids ministry continually, because we're already doing this, intentionally taught the Bible without apology, to study it, to learn it, to pray for their salvation. And get this, what if they were the movers of a revival that would take place in this valley? What about that? God can do that. What if God wants to do that? We will get excited about that and get behind that plan. What if our church has future pastors within this room right now. You kind of heard from Pastor Terry where I came from. I grew up in our youth group, and I was called into youth ministry because I had awesome youth leaders, and I wanted to do for other students what these people have done for me. Pastor Mike came here when he was engaged to Carrie and grew up in this church before being called up to be a pastor. Pastor Dave ended up here by accident, quite literally. He was invited to go to a different church, found himself here. He's like, well, we're here. Let's go. And look where he's at. I mean, Pastor Brian married the pastor's daughter, so like there's that. There's all these unique ways that we have come to be here. But Jesus will build his church. I don't know if any of it was by the design and cunning of man, but Jesus will build his church. But I wonder who else is in here that could need that encouragement to go and lead a church either here or somewhere else, or wow, what could God do with that? What if this was the sending church for healthy pastors? I think that's exciting. What if there's future missionaries, those who would go into other nations and worlds to share the good news of Jesus, the people who haven't heard it before? Should we pray for that? Should we go forward with that? Yes. Should we support that? Yes. I wonder if our church, what if our church becomes a hub for healthy marriages, growing families, men and women discipled by the word of God, and those who love them? What if our church saw the empty seats that were around us? And I know there's not as many right now, but what if there were more? And we saw those empty seats and we saw them as an opportunity to invite someone to sit in that seat next to us. What if? So church, as we move forward, as we dedicate this space, we don't know what God's going to do. And you know what? As things come along, we might not understand. But we're going to continue to believe that Jesus is going to build his church. And we're going to continue to set our minds on the things of God. At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Mike up for his part in the dedication service.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. And I'm after being reminded of how we all ended up here, I think we should write a book. We can call it Accidental Pastors. And we can make millions. Well, in the next 45 minutes or so, my job is to... Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." When a person or church commits their activities to the Lord, it means that your will is in submission to God's will. It's equivalent to inviting God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those words sound familiar, don't they? From the Lord's Prayer. And so as we close our time this morning, we're going to invite the Lord's will to be done here at Grace Bible Church through an act of dedication. And this is a very similar act of dedication that was read and performed at the first dedication service on May 20th, 1962. And so what we're going to do is, at this time, I'm going to ask you all to stand. And I'm going to read a number of dedication statements, which will be on the screen, and then you're going to respond accordingly, and your response will be on the screen. So let's begin with the first. "To the glory of God the Father, to the honor of Jesus Christ his Son, to the praise of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and power, we dedicate this house. For the worship of God in prayer and praise, for the preaching of the infallible word of God, for the observances of the holy ordinances commanded by Christ, we dedicate this house. For comfort to those who mourn, for strength to those who are weak, for help to those who are tempted, we dedicate this house. For the sanctity of the family, for the teaching and guiding the youth, for the promotion of Christian brotherhood, we dedicate this house. For salvation of those who are lost, for promoting and preaching missions, for fellowshipping of the saints, and for preparing the church for the coming of Christ, we dedicate this house." And the next we read together. We, the people of this church and congregation, with hearts that are mindful of God's great gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, now consecrating ourselves anew, dedicate this space with all of its contents to the worship and work of our Heavenly Father and to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This time I'd like to call those that are going to be closing in song to come forward, and let's remain standing and have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful this morning for the reminder of all the work that you've done throughout the history of this church. I thank you for those that started Grace Bible Church those many years ago, and you just laying on their hearts a desire, an unshakable desire, Lord, to have a light here in Dunmore and to preach the gospel. And that desire, Lord, you have used over the last many, many years to draw countless people to yourself and work in the lives of people in some amazing ways, and we give you the glory for it. Thank you for the work that we're seeing in the present and all the encouragement that people are feeling, and Lord, the work that you're doing in their lives, and we ask that you would continue to do that, Lord, not for our glory, but for your glory, and that you would draw more and more people to your Son. And as we anticipate the future, we do pray that you would go before us in all things. Lord, that we would follow your leadership, that we would not take action without praying first. And so then we could be confident, Lord, that whatever decisions we make are blessed by you. We're not making decisions and asking you to bless them. We want to be blessed by the decisions that you lead us to, Lord, because they're your will and not our own. So help us to be that kind of church moving forward. Thank you, Lord, for all the great things you have done. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.